Hey everybody, just a quick word before we get started with the show. We want to remind you that coming up on June 30th at 8 p.m. here in North Seattle, my hood of Greenwood, we are throwing a mega awesome, super amazing podcast listener party, which you are all invited to come to. Stack of Dimes, Sibling Rivalry, Grapes of Rad, the Air Raid Podcast, MacGuffin Podcast, we're all joining forces, so we don't feel bad if nobody shows up, because then we can just be there drinking by ourselves with t-shirts and posters. Come to it. Naked City Brewery and Tap House. They're on Greenwood Avenue here in North Seattle. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great time. Please come. Please come, because if you don't, we'll just be sad. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Guess what? You're Larry Bird.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 101.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series, I am your host, Aaron Roden.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
And of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back. Man, beautiful day today in the city of Seattle. Let me tell you, it was wonderful. I really, it took some willpower to sit down and record this show. Very, very busy weekend. I hope you guys all had a great week last week, and a wonderful weekend. And now we're back. Now we're back into a Monday, back into a Tuesday, back into a Wednesday, even a Thursday, whenever you're listening to this show. We've got a great show planned for you today, by the way. Comedian, author, all-around cool dude. Kind of short. He's got great glasses. He's a very funny man. Comedian Moshe Kasher. Moshe Kasher. I don't even know how to say it. He came by a couple months ago. This is an old interview that we did with Moshe. And while he was here in Seattle, he stopped by our place. And then he went down and did Luke Burbank's show, TBTL, which is way, way more popular than this show. He did that the next day that he was here in Seattle. And so I listened to that one, and I was like, wow, okay, well, we kind of talked about the same thing. So I'm going to hold off on putting this one out because they're somewhat similar. I just realized when I said that people that listen to both of our shows are probably going to be like, well, now I don't have to listen to Air Raid because it's I've heard it before. Don't do that. Don't do that. My God. Hey, so you heard at the during the pre-roll there, we are having this listener party on June 30th. We would love to see you there. We were planning on having some t-shirts, but we're a little bit hung up on the design on these things a little bit. So hopefully we'll have those ready. I'm working on it right now. Working on it. And we will also have some posters for you. It's going to be great. Stack of Dimes, the MacGuffin Podcast, Sibling Rivalry, the Grapes of Rad, we, the Royal We, as in Aaron and Maraid, will be there. You guys got to come down June 30th at Naked City Brewery and Tap House here in the Greenwood neighborhood of Seattle. It's going to be awesome. It's walking distance from my house. You might see me get a little drunk. There could be some drinking involved with that night. So I hope to see you guys there. Also, huge news, guys. Huge news. You may remember back in the episode when we had Lomolo on, fantastic two-piece band. These two wonderful ladies, Kendra and Megan. They were nice enough to give us two tickets to give away for their sold-out album release show, CD release show, down at Columbia City Theater, in South Seattle, or in Columbia City, rather, on June 29th. So, we've got two tickets to give away to you guys, and this is how we're going to do it. We are going to give the tickets away to the first person who emails me with the thing that we have here. It's like a trivia question, okay? This is what it is. Lamolo, the band Lamolo, and I have something in common. You may have to go back to, we've had them on twice. You may have to go back to an episode and check it out. But we have something in common. I want to know what we have in common. And you guys, and you and a friend will go to see Lamolo on us and the band to the sold out CD release show down there in at Columbia City Theater. It's a great place. It's a great venue. It's a great band. You're gonna have a good time. So email me Aaron AARON at air-raid.net with your answer. What do I and Lamolo, the band Lamolo, have in common? It could be a one-word answer. It's super easy, guys. Super easy. But you may have to go back and listen to a couple of those episodes. Anyway, let's get started, shall we? Let's see. The other day. I also want to know what you guys feel about this. But you know what? I don't get many emails from listeners anymore. I used to get a few. But now you guys just kind of dropped off the face of the earth. I know you're still there because the downloads are still there, right? I got that whole tracking thing. I can see where you are. If that's not creepy enough, right? Just lost the last five listeners right there. Anyway, let me know what you feel about this. And really, this is a hang up I think that a lot of us have. So, Mairead's birthday was the other night. We went out Saturday night for a great meal and some drinks. Well, first the drinks, then the meal. And we went out to, we ended up in Ballard, and we went to this place, and I saw somebody there from my past. Saw somebody out of the corner of my eye from my past. Now, we weren't like super tight friends, you know. We weren't real close, but we knew each other. We did some musical stuff together. And I saw him, and he saw me. I know he saw me. But neither of us approached each other. And we kind of just played it off like we didn't see each other, right? I do this on the bus sometimes, too. But the bus is different. Like, on the bus, you know, you just kind of feel like you want your own space sometimes. You don't want to talk to anybody. You get your headphones in. I actually did that today, by the way. You know, nice guy, but I felt like taking a nap, not having to pull some conversation out of my ass. Anyway, so I see this guy in the bar, and we both just kind of act like we didn't see each other. I mean, I guess it's okay when it's both, right? But it's still kind of this, I get this awkward feeling. I don't know, does anybody else get that awkward feeling? Am I the only one? Should I not feel bad about, you know, I don't know. Can you consider that blowing somebody off? I don't know. That's not considered blowing somebody off, is it? Man. Yeah, I don't know. It's probably that it's that neurosis that's coming back up. That brings up a whole new set of problems, right? My anxiety is getting a little bit worse. I'm getting real anxious. I think it's, you know, partly to do, I'm a very organized person, right? Maybe I'm thinking about this stuff too much, but I'm a very organized person. And like, you know, having a little kid, she's crawling all over the place. She's standing on her own for periods of seconds and she's making a mess, man. And it's not like I'm not that guy that like, you know, throws a ball to his kid and then whips him with a belt because he can't catch the ball. I'm not that guy. And I don't even yell at my daughter. So don't get the wrong impression here. But I think it's causing some anxiety. And it's helping. I feel like it's helping just talking about it to myself on the fake radio. I think it's helping a little bit. But I think I need to go talk to somebody because it's really starting to get a grip on my psyche. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's been a weird couple months, guys. It's been a weird couple of months. And I think I'm headed for something. I don't know whether it's a breakdown or whether it's like a breakthrough. I don't know what it is, but it's coming down the road. Let's end it right there. Because I feel like if I go any farther, I'm going to regret it. We're going to be featuring songs by this new band that I found. They're not really new, but they are another local Seattle band. They're called Neighbors. Oh, man. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Was that weird? Did I just weird everybody out right there? Boy, I think I'm going to like listen back to this tomorrow after this is posted, and I'm going to be really embarrassed. Anyway, I would love to hear from you guys. Aaron at air-raid.net. Let's see. Do the contest. Yeah, do answer the trivia question. Get 2 free tickets to the Lomolo show. June 29th, coming up. That's 2012, by the way. Let's see. This band is Neighbors. This is off their album John and Babeland. The song is called Sober. And when we get back, we're going to be talking with comedian, author, Moshe Kasher. It's been a long time coming. I've said, I think, the last 2 episodes that this was going to be the next episode, and it wasn't. But it is now. It is now. It's here. It's here. It's just a little shorter episode. Hope you guys dig it. This is Sober by Neighbors. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. All right, we are back, and joining me here in Dining Room Studios is Mr. Moshe Kasher. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think.
Is it Moshe or Moshe?
Moshe, yeah, you got it.
Okay, good. Well, welcome, sir.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Classy digs you got here in this dining room.
Nice. Thank you very much.
It really is. For the listeners, this is like a model at IKEA or something. Very, very well apportioned.
You know, that's what I say a lot of the times when people come over here, is that everything was pretty much bought at IKEA. So yeah. you can tell.
Yeah, no, I mean, tell. I'm not trying to talk shit. I'm saying good work.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, the look on your face.
No,
it
no
just
that's
totally
just my face, dog. It's a sad business, but yeah. I did a podcast one time called, oh, shit, what's the name of it? Anyway, it's with a porn star. And Eli Olsen.
Like, she's the,
no,
she or he is the host?
It's a comedian and a porn star.
Okay.
Come in. It's called The Morning After. That's what it's called.
Oh,
and it was
literally
me and a porn star walking into like 2 bros' studio apartment with like an inflatable mattress kind of flopped up against the wall. And we both were a little bit like, oh,
like a poor man's futon.
Yeah, we like, I'm like, am I supposed to fuck this girl? Like, is that what we do? Is that what this podcasting is, kids? Do you just fuck girls? Can I say fuck?
Oh yeah, yeah, good. Totally. Right. Yeah, feel free. Well, welcome, sir. You are on a book tour right now.
Yeah, I'm on the Endless Book Tour, man. Yeah. I've been on the road for about a month.
Yeah, we were talking down at the in front of my garage down
the
there.
The garage lobby for the dining room studio.
Right, right. About being on the road for about a month, and you said you just hate it.
Well, I don't. I mean, I've been in some great places. I've been.
Yeah, yeah. You probably met some really cool people too, as well.
No, I have not. No, no. Including right now, that you also fit in. No, I'm kidding. No, I met some great people. I went to where did I go? St. Louis.
Yeah.
Chicago, Detroit, Indianapolis, Austin, Texas, Oklahoma City, Portland, Oregon, here in Seattle. Tomorrow I go to Vancouver and then Edmonton, and then I get to go home.
And then you get to go home.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So it's been a long, a long trip.
And you're doing the whole thing by train?
I've got a stick and a handkerchief, and I put my stuff in the kerchief, and then I follow the hobo signs to find where.
Yeah.
No, I just did. I just took the train
from
Portland to Seattle here. But the train is so much better than any other form of transportation.
Well, you can get up, you can walk around. There's a lot of space on it.
Everybody's happy to be on the train.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's afraid of a train crash. You know, it's just joy.
It seems like that train crash though would probably be more painful
than an airplane crash.
Than an airplane crash.
Strongly disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like.
I think there's still the possibility of you living after a train crash.
That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Okay.
That's the good part.
That's the good part. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
but it would be
live.
Like you'd like lose a limb or something.
I would like to lose the limb and live. Not you?
I don't know. I don't know. Phantom pains? I don't know.
You're kind of a pussy, man.
Oh, I'm a total pussy.
You gotta man up and live that life without that arm.
So you have your own show. Called The Champs, right?
Oh yeah. Do you fuck with The Champs?
I just started listening to it.
That's what we say to our listeners. You're fucking with The Champs.
Yeah.
So when it's been kind of fun, you know, going around the country and people, even in all the way in Oklahoma City, people are like, I fuck with The Champs. So it's been pretty neat. The premise of The Champs is it's me and Neil Brennan, the guy that co-created the Chappelle Show,
right,
and then DJ Doug Pound, who's from the Tim and Eric program in Portlandia and stuff. And then every week we interview a different black guest celebrity. And so if you are a white person and you want to hear what black people are like, please tune in. And if you
it's a good show.
Yeah.
It's
if you're a black
show.
Person, you want to hear what white people are like when they timidly interview black people, please tune in. If you are a non-white, non-black person, you are not welcome to listen.
Yeah.
To
yeah. If you're Hispanic, it's not for you.
No,
it's not for you. Yeah.
No, you can all listen.
Yeah. Things, shit just got racial.
Shit just got real.
In dining room studios.
Shit just got mad real.
So how long have you been doing comedy, man? Because we're about the same age, I think.
How old are you?
31.
Yeah, we're about the same age.
It'll be 32 in June.
I've been doing comedy for about 10 years.
Yeah?
Maybe a little more, actually. It might be closer to 11.
How'd you get into it? What made you want to start?
I was doing theater and stuff in college, experimenting with sex with dudes or whatever. And I was writing plays and acting and stuff. And then my buddy, one of my best friends, Chelsea Peretti, is also a great comic.
Yeah.
We went to school together, junior high together, and I knew her from Oakland. And I went to New York on a trip and saw her doing stand-up. And I was like, oh, this is the perfect mixture of the things that I've been wanting to do.
Right.
So she was coming back to Oakland that summer, and I said by the time she came back, I would have written 5 minutes of material, and she could take me to an open mic, and she did. And we did, and the rest is sad history.
Yeah. Were you nervous that first time that you got up there in front of people?
No, I was pretty genius level, like from the very beginning.
Were you?
No, I was. I don't know if I was nervous. The stakes were very low. I mean, it was at this place called the Luggage Store Gallery. It was me and Chelsea. Another comedian named Alex Cole was there. And Tony Sparks, who's the godfather of San Francisco stand-up comedy, is like the guy in the open mic scene. And like maybe three other comics. So
there's an actual like open mic scene.
Oh, in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You know, young comics coming up.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Coming up in the game.
Yeah.
And Tony Sparks will be like, "Ooh, baby, you funny. You real funny. You keep it up, okay?" And then he's a Chinese dude. And then he would go, when you would come for the first time on one of his shows, he'd go, "All right, this is his first time on the show, so we got to give him what? And then the audience will go, a lot of love. That's right, a lot of love. And so, anyway, it's a nice...
It seems a like, nice a, like a nice open mic to start out at. Holy sure. shit.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, right on, right on. So what did you originally start writing comedy about? Were you just like, did you start out, you just started writing jokes or what?
Yeah, I just started writing jokes. I remember my first joke I ever wrote. I still tell it sometimes, actually. Mm-hmm. It was about... schizophrenic pride parade,
mm-hmm.
About how homosexuality was once considered a psychological disorder.
Right.
Thank
right.
God we've come far enough to know how crazy that is, but how cool would it be if things that we currently think of as psychological disorders are just become a part of the mosaic of society?
Yeah.
Specifically, how cool would schizophrenic pride weekend be?
Wow.
So that was the first.
That'd be intense. That'd be an intense parade, man.
Yeah, man. It would be off the chain. I do the bit, but I mean,
yeah, yeah.
We're not in morning radio.
Yeah, yeah, we're not getting into that, are we? Okay, okay. Well, let's switch gears and talk about your book a little bit. I just started reading it. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't get very far.
Okay.
This is my daughter's first birthday on Saturday, so I didn't have time.
It was your daughter that distracted you, and you were like, I'm going to be honest, not feeling it.
Yeah.
Not a big fan.
Written terribly.
Awesome.
No, it's really good so far, and the reason, like... Because we had set this thing up. You were going to come here a couple, maybe a week ago or some, or earlier this week. We finally lined this up. And so I had always planned on going and getting the book.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to be somewhat prepared.
Sure, but you decided
and
to
totally
not do that.
And I totally fucking put it off. Yeah,
yeah. Because your daughter turned one.
I know, man.
I love my daughter.
Such a little bitch. Such a little bitch.
Wait, who, me, you, or her?
No, her.
Oh, okay.
Her,
yeah. She seems very nice, actually.
It takes up all my time.
Right now, she's in the kitchen in a soundproof booth, screaming, banging on the plexiglass walls, I'm hungry, Daddy.
That is totally not true. That soundproof booth is in the back of the house. I had heard about the book, and I wanted to read it because I was like, wow, you know, that childhood sounded vaguely similar to mine.
Oh, did you have a rotten one?
Kind of, yeah. I didn't grow up poor.
Okay.
That was about the biggest difference. Everything else was kind of the same. So I started reading this thing, and I was like, holy shit, man. This is, it's touching a lot of chords with me. So you grew up.
You grew up too?
I did. I am now 31. Yeah.
Almost 32.
Almost 32. In New York, right? And then moved over to Oakland?
Well, I was born in New York.
Born in New York, okay.
And when I was 9 months old, my mom essentially kidnapped us. I mean, not officially,
mm-hmm.
but she told my dad we were going on vacation to Oakland, and we never came back.
And never came back, yeah.
And in fact, I have a wall calendar from the time that month that I found when my dad died.
Right.
In a box of his stuff, and there was these... It was on one of the dates that said, you know, June 6th or whatever... Whatever it was, B and the boys moved to go on vacation to Oakland.
Yeah,
and there were
these
X's marking off, you know, the days until we would come back, and then eventually the X's just stopped.
Yeah,
and that's when my life in Oakland began.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, wow, that's heavy.
It was heavy.
Yeah,
yeah. A lot of the book is heavy. You know, I mean, I'm a comic, and my sweet spot and comfort zone is definitely in jokes. But the book goes to some pretty dark, deep places too.
I mean, when you started writing this thing too, I mean, what was that like for you?
It was more emotional than I expected. I think I'd been telling these stories, some of these stories, the funny parts of the stories,
mm-hmm.
for a long time. Like, here's the crazy shit that happened to me, and I'd get some laughs out of it, and that would be that. But when you're writing a book, you can't just tell the funny stories. You have to tell the whole story. You know.
Right,
so when I got to these kind of really deep and dark places that you kind of store away in the back of your memory banks, it was you definitely have a reckoning with your own memory and your own past.
Yeah.
So there were some intense moments for
well,
sure.
Well, did it bring up a lot of stuff? Like, I mean, it sounded like you may have had some animosity towards your mom once you kind of figured out that she, you know, pulled you guys away from there. Because it sounded like, you know, you in the first couple chapters, you're talking a lot about how she would kind of berate your father all the time, and you didn't really know him.
Well, that's
right?
I think one of the that's one of you know one of the character. There's all these invisible characters in the book. You know,
yeah.
There's the real
yeah.
characters, and then there's the kind of the kind of phantom characters. Oakland is one of them. Hip hop is one of them.
Yeah.
And divorce is definitely one of them too. All of the kids that I grew up with came from divorced families.
Uh-huh.
People our age are from the era where it seemed like every single marriage ended in divorce.
Yeah.
And one of the things that moms sometimes do, and I imagine dads do it too, would have done it, especially if at the time it was more normal for the dad to get custody, is to just start telling their kid these stories that are informed by resentment and anger about their former partner.
Right.
And that's
right.
What my mom did. She wouldn't tell us. She would tell us these kind of everything that ever went wrong could be somehow blamed on my dad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he became this kind of phantom figure, this specter of things, you know, of I don't want to say evil, but he was the reason that everything sucked.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know the guy.
Right. Right. So what was it like when you first kind of met him?
Well, when I first met him, I met him, but when first sort of started spending time with him, you know, in my absence, my dad had become a religious Jew, like a very, uh-huh. very religious Jew. He'd married into a Hasidic group called the Satmars in Brooklyn. And so I didn't have time to process whether or not I resented my dad. I was busy literally putting on a costume and pretending to be a Hasidic Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an intense and interesting experience.
And you weren't religious when you were with your mother, right?
Oh, not remotely.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I was like a straight up California kid listening to Too Short.
Uh-huh.
And then I would fly home. I mean, maybe when I was six, I wasn't listening to Too Short. Very possible. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I was just like secular California kid, regular. And then I flew into Brooklyn and was like, oh, I guess we speak Yiddish now.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Ha-ha. Hello or whatever. I don't know Yiddish stuff. So.
It's going to be some culture shock, I guess.
It was big time culture shock. It was more than that. It was like identity shock.
Yeah, yeah. So what kind of threw you into the like drug scene and all that craziness?
Well, you know, all of these kind of
everything was kind of just building up. I mean, did you not have?
I mean, my parents were deaf. You didn't mention that either.
Yeah,
so my parents were deaf. My dad was a religious Jew. My mom was an angry feminist, secular, hippie kind of person, and. You know, I went into Oakland public schools. Everybody was black. So I just was never the right thing. You know what I mean? I wasn't deaf. I wasn't Jewish enough. I wasn't black enough. I wasn't hearing or deaf or, you know, I just wasn't enough. And then, you know, you find these kids that in the back of every school who make you enough, you know?
Right.
They suck your dick or whatever. No, that didn't happen. But they get you high and you forget about all those things that don't make you enough. And you're like, you're all good.
Right.
You know?
What was your first drug?
Oh,
was it weed?
Yeah.
Everybody's
hanging out
fucking
in the bush.
Gateway drug.
Yeah, the gateway drug. I was literally in a gateway. I was truly in a gateway. It was in a bush, I think, actually, a hollowed out bush that we had. Like, we would hang out in these bushes that we'd kind of cut hollows into, and we'd go in there and smoke. And
Man.
Oh, actually, the first time I properly got high was actually at this kid's house in the backyard. Man. It was the best. I always figure if there's a heaven, it's probably got to look something like that kid's backyard. Because we just hung out. Oh, man, it was so great.
Yeah.
Somebody put on the song While the City Sleeps by MC 900 Foot Jesus. Do you remember that?
I have no idea. I don't know what the
song is. Look it up. It's a pretty great song. But and then we would just ran around in circles until we kind of just collapsed in a heap.
Yeah.
It's the greatest day of my life.
How old were you?
I was 12.
12?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think I started smoking weed when I was 13.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it was about the same age. But it took me a really long time to get high for the first time.
Well, I did.
Reason.
I also.
And I would just fake it. I would just fucking fake it.
I did the same thing.
Did you?
First time I tried it, I didn't know what to do, so I'd
right,
just go,
right.
Oh, I am
Oh, yeah,
high.
I feel it.
Uh-huh, Bob Marley. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get high and you go,
oh this is it.
Okay. Yeah. This is something different entirely.
I remember because I'm from a small town and the first time it finally worked, it was a summer. It was like and we lived out on the beach and stuff. And so there's this big dock. And I was just walking down the dock, but I was taking giant steps.
Uh huh.
You know, and so everybody in town knew each other and they're all looking at me like I'm some kind of fucking retard.
Were you walking on the moon?
I may have been.
Giant steps are what you take when you walk on the moon.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
I got it.
I apologize to everybody listening.
This is a morning talk show.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
But yeah, and then I went up to the store and we got a bunch of like Laffy Taffy and stuff like that, and I gave her the candy back and then took my money off of the counter. Yeah.
You did an opposite exchange?
Right.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I remember we ate popsicles and I sprinkled salt on them, and it was the most delicious thing I'd ever tasted in my life. And then we drank Everclear margaritas. This was at this party. You know Everclear?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everclear, as I say in the book, for the uninitiated, is essentially potable rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, and yeah, pretty much.
You can feel your trachea disintegrate as you drink it. It's the best
Jesus
stuff.
Christ. I never had the...
You ever tried Everclear?
No, I don't know if I have.
I think
I
it's infinity proof.
It.
I'm not positive. I think it's 666 proof, something like that.
Yeah, it's there to kill people, yeah. I think is what it is.
And indeed it did.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I rose again on the third day to come back and write a book.
We'll be right back. Now the book's available everywhere.
Yeah, it's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, yeah, and anywhere, yeah, else.
That's where I got it. I got it at Barnes & Noble.
B&N. Yeah, they've been good to me.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So when you first sat down to, like, did somebody approach you to write a book, or did you have this idea?
Well, I'd written this one-man show about all this stuff, and my manager thought it might be better suited as a book.
Really?
So we started working on that together. It was sort of his idea in a weird way, and I'm definitely grateful to him for that. But
Yeah. Well, cool. Because I have always tried to sit down and like write stuff.
Yeah.
But I just can't. I don't have the mental capacity.
Oh,
for
you
it
can.
Or, you know?
If you had a deadline, you would figure out a way. I was the same way. I wrote a lot, but I never written anything that long before.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like with a looming deadline, you're like, okay.
Start pulling it out.
I would just sit down every day. I would write. I figured out at some point that if I wrote 2 pages every day, that I would finish the book in time. And two mm-hmm. pages seemed like a manageable amount of writing to
Was
do
it?
Per day. The thing is, you can't judge yourself while you're writing. You have to continue writing.
Yeah, yeah.
You can judge yourself when you go back and rewrite, you know? But the thing that has to happen is you have to get to the end. Or, I mean, I don't know if everybody writes the same way. This is how I wrote. I would just write, and I would, in certain passages of the book, I would feel like, this is stupid.
Right.
This isn't good.
While you're writing it.
Yeah, but I would just keep going, because I knew what the story was. I just have to continue writing the book. And then I went back and fixed and uh-huh, picked it up. Uh-huh. So I, you know, to the young writers out there, that's... This has been On Writing with Moshe Kasher and Stephen King. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Well, it just seems like a really daunting task. Like, I've always been really curious about how somebody actually does it.
Right.
Because, well, I mean, you know, shit, like you just mentioned Stephen King. Like, at the end of each one of his books, everything falls apart. Like, it's not good anymore.
Right.
You know? So that's what...
The book, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You think Stephen King book is bad?
I think the endings kind of fall apart, yeah.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Every 68 books, you think they all fall apart?
Maybe not so much Pet Sematary.
I just disagree.
Really?
Stephen King,
really?
SK?
Yeah.
My motherfucker? my Stephen King? Oh, yeah. No, you didn't say that about my Stephen King.
Hells yeah.
Interesting. I mean, you know, I'm a big Stephen King fan.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. No, I am too. I am too, but I think they all get kind of, I don't know.
Wonky?
They get kind of wonky at the end, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll have to, I'll take your
Do you
word
know
for
him?
It. He's my father. Stephen King is my father.
I never knew Stephen King was Hasidic.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the end that fell apart.
Right. Well, Moshe Kasher, thank you so much, man.
Hey, thank you for having me in.
Yeah, yeah, this has been a real pleasure. I'm sorry we couldn't hang out a little bit longer.
Me too, man. It was nice to chat to you. Yeah, and, you know, hey, if you ever, just keep writing, right?
Right, yeah.
And get to that end.
Someday I will get that first paragraph done.
And the last one. Don't make it wonky. Do not make it wonky. Let Christine the love bug run you over.
There you go. So let's pimp your wares here really quick. Where can we find out more about you?
Website
for the champs.
You can find me at MosheKasher.com or on Twitter at Moshe Kasher, MosheKasher. The book is called Kasher in the Rye, The True Tale of a White Boy from Oakland Who Became a Drug Addict, Criminal, Mental Patient, and Then Turned 16.
God, I wish I had more time to talk to you about that.
Me too.
All right, Moshe, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. If I were good, I'd be somebody else.
Well, there you have it, folks. Our short, kind of rushed interview with or chat. Let's call it a chat. I don't like calling these interviews because they're not real interviews, right? They're just two people sitting down and bullshitting for a little bit. But yeah, go out and check out Moshe Kasher's book, Kasher in the Rye. It is fantastic. I have since finished the book because it's been what, 2 months? 2 months since he's been here. It's really fantastic, and it's not your normal kind of like comedian book, right? It's not a comedy book. It's a book by somebody who happens to be a comedian, and it's written very well. It's a well done book. So go and check it out. And yeah, like I said, you know, it was fun to get to talk with him. I wish we had some more time to chat because, we had similar childhoods, so to speak. I had a little bit better family unit, it sounds like, but the same problems. So yeah, go out and check it out. Kasher in the Rye by Moshe Kasher, and it was fantastic to get to meet the guy. You have been listening throughout the episode to the band Neighbors. You can find them neighbors.bandcamp.com. Go and check them out. They have this fantastic album called John and Babeland that is now available. So go check it out. I implore you to do so. Let's see. Is there anything else? No, no. I don't think there's anything else. This has been a very short episode. But yeah, June 30th, come and hang out with all of us podcasters. Buy some merch, have some drinks, and just hang out. Just hang out, man. It's going to be fun. June 30th, 8 o'clock p.m. At Naked City. Naked City Brewery and Tap House. Come and check it out. And I'm sure that after, we will probably go elsewhere, maybe across the street to the Baranoff, you know, and go sing some karaoke. I mean, that's how these things usually happen, right? Right? Yeah. Oh, and come on. We got two tickets to give away to the Lomolo CD release show for Kaleidoscope, which is a fantastic album. And you guys are really going to enjoy that. So two tickets to give away. Remember, email me, aaron@air-raid.net, to get those tickets. Tell me what me and the band have in common. There's a common thread there with Lomolo. So so first person to send me that email is going to get two free tickets to the sold-out CD release show on June 29th. Coming up here in a little bit. So make sure you guys do that quickly, all right? Don't wait. Don't wait to do that. And let's see. What else? What else? Website, air-raid.net. Come and visit us. We've got a whole revamped website. You can come and check it out. The pictures are up there. The whole archives are available there. Check us out on iTunes. Remember to leave us a star rating and maybe a short review. Really helps us out to continue to get guests like Moshe Kasher on. And all the great guests that we've got coming up for the summer. We're alive and kicking. And come and follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, will you? Don't have very many followers there, but it's a fun time. I promise you, you will enjoy it. At Air Raid Net. Okay, that's it. That's it for the plugs. That's it for this week. I hope you guys have a good one, and we'll be back next week with another guest and another show for your ear holes. Have a good one, everybody. This is Neighbors. The song is If I Were Good. We'll see you next week.
There is nothing that can't be changed. So if you want it, you can change. Would you be different? Friend, like somebody else, if you did change, would you still be yourself? Well, if I were good, would it be myself? If I were good, I'd be somebody. Somebody